Hey, you guys, welcome to another episode of Have You Not Heard? We have a fascinating conversation today with Amanda Gunter. She has a history of teaching special education. Now she is involved in brain rehabilitation, and she has a heart for the Father's healing, healing that can come from Christ. And when you combine good, solid science together. So it's going to be a fun conversation. Welcome, Amanda.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me. This is definitely an honor. And yeah, I'm excited to talk about this.
So can you tell us, Amanda, how you got interested in the healing of the brain? And I remember you telling me a story that's pretty fascinating when you were in high school. Can you start there and share?
Absolutely. So as a high school student, I was really at a place where I was looking at different colleges, and I knew I wanted to go into education initially. And I actually, I've loved the Lord. I grew up in church. I grew up under a bunch of intercessors and prayer warriors. And so I had a real, and still obviously have a real intimate relationship with the Lord. And so when I was in high school, I had an encounter with the Lord where it was almost a vision, in the essence that I saw children walking into, at the time, as I thought it was a school, but they were walking into the school with all types of disabilities. And then yet they were walking out of the school completely healed and made whole.
Wow.
And so from that experience, it was a really powerful experience at 17 years old, where I realized that the Lord was calling me to be a part of not only working with children, but working with children that had disabilities, mm-hmm. and that His desire for them was to see them be able to pursue the plans and purposes they were created for, and really be able to walk in their full identity. And so instead of just going into traditional education, I ended up going to school to study special education.
Mm-hmm.
And awesome. I found myself in teaching, you know, so now I've graduated college, I'm now teaching, and I'm teaching middle school, and I'm serving children that were diagnosed with autism. I was serving children that were actually diagnosed with what they call reactive attachment disorders, serving children with behavioral disorders, serving children with learning disabilities. And what I came to realize was our traditional school system is really set up to what we call accommodate a child's disability, or modify the curriculum to accommodate the child's disability. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't really a place and a platform where I actually could see children, you know, be healed and actually not need the accommodations and modifications.
Mm-hmm. And your call was to the healing. So yeah. Then where did your story go? How did God lead you?
So I was in my third year of teaching. I was really at a place, you know, that I was exhausted. I was just physically exhausted, emotionally exhausted. And I really started praying and asking the Lord for, you know, next steps. What does that look like? And I actually had a student go through a program over a summer break called Brain Balance. Mm-hmm. And this was a student that was really struggling, not only with learning, but he was really struggling with just inappropriate behaviors and a lot of meltdowns. And so we had worked really hard with him, but at the end of the year, he really wasn't meeting even the goals that we had set for him through the modifications and accommodations. And so he left us one summer. He came back in the fall. I was still his teacher, and it was like a new child walked into my classroom. And I honestly thought that they'd possibly change the child's medications because he was on a lot of medications. And so after about 2 weeks of being in the classroom with him, I picked up the phone and I called the mom and I said, hey, what have you guys changed in his medication? Like, we're really having a good year. This is incredible. And she said to me, well, Amanda, I didn't want to tell you, but we're actually taking him off of his medication and we're doing this holistic program called Brain Balance. And so after about 6 weeks of him being in the classroom, I was actually going to have to rewrite his what we call IEP, which is Individualized Education Plan, because he had already met the goals that we had written for the entire year. He had already met them within the first 6 weeks of school.
Wow.
So it was a significant change in his functioning, and it was significant in his ability to learn.
Right. So talk to us about what Brain Balance is and what does it do?
Yeah. So basically, I started going to his sessions because I had to, you know, as an educator and being passionate and wanting to pursue healing, I thought, I'm seeing a different child in front of me. This is very different. So I started going to his sessions at Brain Balance. And at the time, it was a program that was founded out of New York, off of Long Island, by the founder. His name is Dr. Robert Melillo. And he had a doctor that was studying under him, named Dr. Peter Skyer in Peachtree City, Georgia. And so Dr. Peter Skyer was opening up this Brain Balance. And the big question was, you know, can this be duplicated? And, you know, or does it have to be Dr. Melillo that works with the kids that gets these changes? And so Dr. Skyer started talking to me about the brain and how the brain can change and that environment impacts brain function and brain development, and that there's this thing called neuroplasticity, which is a fancy word for just building more connections in the brain. And, you know, as a teacher, it made so much sense to me because I would see my students in the classroom have these incredible strengths and even a level of brilliance. And yet these other moments where they were really struggling and it was impacting their everyday life. So basically it's really the root of a child having symptoms. And that's why any diagnosis from, you know, dyslexia or ADHD or autism or a specific learning disability or even attachment disorders, those are, if you really look at the diagnosis of these, you know, so-called disabilities, it's really just a list of symptoms, symptoms that the child has. But the reality is that the root cause, and this is what the science says, the root cause of these diagnoses is really under connections in the brain, sometimes even over connections in the brain, you know, where the two hemispheres of the brain are not able to effectively cross communicate.
Okay.
So what ends up happening is you have what we call a disconnect between the right and left hemisphere. And it's a functional disconnection. And so that's when you see children and even in adults where you're not able to live out your full potential because there's some disconnects taking place.
Right. Can you give us a concrete on that?
Well, many times, just a concrete example is we serve children oftentimes that they come in and they're really bright in certain areas. For example, they're really strong in the area of memory. They're really strong in the area of remembering like the facts and the details. But yet, and academically, they can be really strong in certain areas, but then yet they struggle with reading facial expressions. They struggle with being able to connect socially with other peers. Mm-hmm. They have difficulties with transitioning from one, you know, activity or one situation to the next.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead.
Well,
I'll
let you finish. Yeah. So what ends up happening is that you see where the child has extreme strengths, but then yet there are these also these weaknesses that are present, that you're seeing these symptoms in their everyday life where it can really hold them back. You know, it can really hold them
back. So that would be an example of a disconnect from the right brain, left brain, because the right brain, I mean, would be the social part. The left brain would be more the memory.
Yeah.
Is that correct?
That's okay. Correct. Yeah.
And so your goal in this functional neurology brain balance is to get those to talk to each other, so to speak.
Yes. So what our goal is to build more connections in the brain, because a connected brain is a teachable brain.
Mm-hmm. So how would that apply to adults? Because there's a lot of adults mm-hmm. listening, and a lot of people, I mean, I was a therapist for 34 years and I had not heard of this stuff. Yeah. So yeah. It's exciting to hear about. I knew, you know, of course the brain can change in a lot of different ways, but this little piece I had not heard. Mm-hmm. And so there's a lot of adults that may need that kind of rehabilitation. So could you talk about that?
Absolutely. Because here's the thing is we see it in our centers every day where, you know, parents come in and they come in because they're concerned about a child. But when we sit and we talk with them and we really hear their story, you know, oftentimes I have moms sitting here in tears saying, I struggled with these things and I don't mm-hmm. want my child to struggle like I've struggled.
Wow.
Or mm-hmm. I've had the dads come in here and say, yeah, that's me. And I'm still sitting here fidgety and still sitting here anxious and, you know, and really struggle at times with anxiety. So we see it in adults. And what's also really interesting is that if there is a disconnect in the brain, that over time and as the child grows into young adults, and this is where I ended up, just to share a little bit about my journey. So I ended up leaving mm-hmm. teaching. I worked 100% at a brain balance center in Peachtree City, Georgia. And then I was there for about 5 years and I was getting a little, you know, I'm a creator developer and I love special right. projects. And
time to move on to a yeah, new thing. Right? Yeah. Sure.
So. Uh-huh. So I ended up moving to Kansas City where we actually put a brain balance in a therapeutic residential boarding school. Mm-hmm. And that was working with young, like teenagers and even, you know, ages 18, 19, where they were really struggling significantly. But where they were struggling was, you know, often the kiddos would be diagnosed with ADHD when they were younger, you know, like mm-hmm. 7, 8 years old. But then what ends up happening is as that disconnect is present and those underconnections in the brain are present, as the child becomes older and enters into their teenage years, that's where it shifts more to, instead of hyperactivity and impulsivity, it can look more like anxiety. And so mm-hmm. then what ends up happening is the teenager oftentimes will use coping mechanisms that are not appropriate,
right?
Such as substance abuse, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
And so that's where it was really interesting to see that, you know what, these imbalances actually, unless we actually address the root problem, that the symptoms are going to look different. And then they go into young adult. And what we're seeing right now is we're seeing a huge amount of young adults failure to launch.
Yes, yes.
You know, where they're at home, they're living on the couch, or they're living at home at age 20, 22, 24, 25 years old, and they're not able to keep a job. They're not able to. I actually had a young adult in here yesterday that's doing brain balance. And he said to me, you know, I was asking him, like, what are your continued goals? So, you know, where are we at with your goals? And, you know, what else would you like to see change? And he said, you know, my attention has improved. My ability to be able to complete things have improved tremendously, but I'm still really nervous about adulting. Well, give me a concrete example of that. And he said, honestly, like going and figuring out how to apply for a job is extremely overwhelming to me.
Wow. So, okay. So that makes me think of, you know, the whole trauma aspect we're talking about, and that fight, flight, and freeze.
Yeah.
And you've got some information for us around that. So,
yeah. So what we look at, you know, is, okay, so if there are under connections in the brain, if there are over connections in the brain, that can impact, again, the cross communication in the brain. The other thing that we find is that when children or even adults experience trauma, that trauma can also impact brain function. Mm-hmm. And specifically, one of the things that we look at here at Brain Balance is we look at and assess children and even our young adults for what we call primitive reflexes. And these reflexes are involuntary motor responses, and that's the way we assess them. Do you have this involuntary motor response? Yes or no. However, these are reflexes that you actually don't want to be active, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So every baby is born with these reflexes. If we think about a baby, the area of the brain that's developed is really just the survival area of the brain, the emotional area of the brain. But the way the brain neurotypically develops is through a baby's sensory system. So what they see, what they hear, what they smell, what they feel. So senses develop the brain, but then also motor develops the brain, gross motor, fine motor. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when a baby's born, they have these, what they call survival reflexes that, again, because the whole brain isn't developed, it's functioning out of the place of emotions. So when a baby's hungry, they cry. When they need their diaper changed, they cry. You know, their response is out of a place of emotions because that's the only area of the brain that's developed. And you have what we call the sympathetic nervous system, which is our system that you carry for the rest of your life. But that's the whole fight, flight, or freeze mechanism as well, where, you know, you're more in survival. Now,
right.
If the baby's brain develops appropriately, their sensory systems are developing, their motor systems are developing, then the reasoning area of the brain is developing. And so the baby doesn't need these survival reflexes any longer because the reasoning, or I call it the upstairs part of the brain, is developing and is able to handle different experiences. Okay. And that's where more of that parasympathetic nervous system takes over, and you're functioning more out of what we call rest and digest. Your body's in a state of rest and calm. Your heart rate is normal. You're digesting your food appropriately. And you're able to handle, you know, the different experiences around you. Trauma, oftentimes, when you have an adverse experience, and it can range. You know, some things that are very traumatic for one person, and that's the whole study of resilience, you know,
right,
you know, big hot topic. But trauma impacts people in different ways. You often hear little t trauma, big t traumas, but the reality is that an adverse experience can impact your nervous system. And what could happen is, if it's, you know, significant in your life, it can actually cause your nervous system to function more out of that place of fight, flight, or freeze.
Okay. So then what I think I'm understanding is you could have a, like, say, a birth issue, like if you had a traumatic birth, you know, right there, that part of your brain can be affected, or it could be later in life, that then that left brain, right brain, or that primitive reflex will resurface. Is that true?
Yes. So that's where, again, if you have developmental delays from birth, that can cause primitive mm-hmm. reflexes to remain active. And so then your perception of the world around you is very different because your sensory systems, you know, haven't fully developed. And so that impacts the way you handle experiences. But then also, too, you could have been neurotypically developing appropriately, have a traumatic experience, and out of safety and out of survival, that brain, you know, you can have primitive reflexes turn back on as a safety mechanism to be able to survive the situation that you're in.
Right. That's the fascinating way God made our bodies, right? It's so fascinating.
Exactly.
Right.
And so what we find, and this is where, you know, this whole new world of the importance of addressing the nervous system, even in the counseling world, is really important because if you are utilizing cognitive-based type therapies, and yet you've got a client in front of you that is very dysregulated with their nervous system, they may not be able to access that reasoning area of the brain.
That would be an indication maybe that somebody needs this if they are in traditional counseling, if they've done, you know, more traditional kind of even trauma work, and there's still a missing link. They're still not getting freedom.
Yes. Okay. Yes, because if we think about healing is really body, mind, soul, and spirit. And so, so when we think about the body, you have to address the nervous system because the body, surprisingly, the more research that's being done, actually holds on to trauma, you know, and so that can impact the way your nervous system functions.
So that's where the flashbacks come back. Or I have an example of somebody that when their baby was young and didn't sleep, they would basically freeze, not know what to do, even though they were a very functional adult. So that could mean that that primitive nervous system was acting
absolutely
up, right?
Yeah, because you automatically go back to, you know, in that situation and in that circumstance, you know, your body's there, your nervous system is functioning out of that place, even though you know their baby's sleeping now, you know, like
right, they're still on, so to speak.
Absolutely.
Right. So what are some, can you just tell us some concrete ways that this healing happens, just to let people know about that?
Absolutely. So, you know, and one other piece I want to also share is that what we're finding, and in my season at the therapeutic boarding school, is that a few things. One is that I would like to say is that children that are adopted, children that are adopted experience extreme trauma. You know, even if the parent adopts them at birth, there's still extreme trauma that baby has experienced. The brain begins to develop in utero. And so that whole 9 months of being in a mother's womb that may not have wanted that baby or knew that she was putting up her baby for adoption, that's where attachment begins, but that's also where the brain development begins. And so that's one of the big things that I see, especially in the Christian world, of just not recognizing that that's a big trauma, and that when a child experiences trauma, in any types of trauma, a divorce is a trauma, a death is a trauma, even a critical move, you know, in an age that, you know, you don't think about it, and poor parents don't think about it, but, you know, you move across the country. We had a young man in here the other day where, you know, a significant move when he was in eighth grade.
And
any type of trauma can impact brain development. So even if the baby was developing and the child was developing, quote unquote, neurotypical, that trauma, when you have a child that's brain is still developing through 25, that trauma can impact and cause a pause to development and can impact development. Mm-hmm. So that's one piece that I think is important for parents to realize. But then the same thing that happens in adults, you know, that the disconnect can still go throughout adulthood, but then also trauma can also impact brain function. So what do you do about it? Well, there's lots of different things. And this is where it's super exciting to be in this field, because I'm still learning and growing every day. The research continues to grow and develop, and we learn so much more about the brain. But the reality is that our senses can help develop the brain or calm the brain down. So, for example, when we have either, you know, teenagers or even adults or even children that are struggling with anxiety, and this is a big issue right now, you know, with everything that's going on with the pandemic, anxiety is a big thing. And so just recognizing that activating your sensory systems in a very specific way can really help calm your nervous system. So some very concrete things that, and what the research also shows is that if you activate the brain through multiple sensory inputs simultaneously, that that's actually the most powerful way to stimulate the brain. So for example, if you are really trying to calm the brain down, that worship music and sounds that are lower tone, that are slower in tone, is actually a better sound to have playing when you're trying to calm down. Also, diaphragmic breathing. So really just sitting and really trying to center yourself and just take deep breaths. Because when you are in that fight, flight, or freeze, and your heart rate is pounding, your hands are clammy, your eyes are dilated, those are signs and symptoms in an adult or a child that they're functioning out of fight, flight, or freeze. So just being able to sit and take deep breaths, because you're going to breathe very shallow when you're in fight, flight, or freeze. So the diaphragmic breathing, the having the sounds going, it's more like spa-like music, you know?
Right. Why we all love to go to spa, right?
Exactly.
And then they have the essential oils.
And so that's the other thing.
The lavender.
Yes, and the smell. Actually, smell is the most powerful way to access the brake pedal of the brain. So having smells like lavender, like you're saying, and eucalyptus and peppermint, and even just having your child or even you as an adult smelling these essential oils, you would be surprised how that will actually activate your parasympathetic nervous system. The other thing is that stretching, Pilates type exercises, and big motor movements also can activate the area of the brain for calming down and really activate more of that parasympathetic response.
Wow. These are things we do need. Everybody, whether you've experienced, well, we're all kind of going through trauma and in a sense. So it at least a little T trauma because of what the world is going through right now, but especially if you've got a history and you've already been struggling. So that's fascinating. It's just fascinating how sometimes the simple is so profound, and we overlook that and we want to do something else that seems to have more impact. But truly these, and then you guys that are trained know how to pair these together for the particular person and the particular problem. And that's amazing. Also, you talked about how it can affect our faith life. So tell us about that.
Yeah, well, you know, it's really interesting because the way that we perceive God, obviously our brain function has a lot to do with that. And so when we think about different ways that we encounter the Lord, to really be able to be fully connected to the Lord, it requires us to be fully connected, you know, to ourselves, and the brain has to be connected, right? So oftentimes, you know, for example, the ability to hear God's voice and the ability to, let's just take that example, the ability to hear God's voice. Well, there's many ways we can hear God's voice. We can hear God's voice through scripture, right? Which is actually a very concrete left brain way of hearing God's voice. You know, it's very black and white. The scriptures are right there for you. And that is a very concrete way of hearing God's voice. But then being able, and this is what is so powerful about just walking with the Lord, is how many times have we looked at a scripture and it's the very black and white, you know, and you read it and that's what that means and that's it. But then 6 months later, 8 months later, you may come back, you reread the scripture and you interpret it completely different. Okay, that's more of a right brain function, almost like being able to pick up the inferencing within the text, you know, and be able to apply it to different situations. Okay, so what's so amazing, one of my professors is actually Israeli, and he's a Jew, and really he doesn't know Jesus, but he's so profound because it's so interesting to hear him speak about, he's a medical doctor, he studies functional neurology, and it's so fascinating to hear him talk about the way the Eastern, you know, culture interprets scripture, because they really take scripture and almost like it's like an onion, and they peel it back layer by layer and really discover several meanings within one scripture. But you really have to have a strong right brain, you know, and you have to have a strong left brain, and they have to be really connected to really be able to wrestle with that and really be able to hear God's voice through scripture. And then we think about like feeling the presence of God and, you know, hearing Holy Spirit and sensing, you know, what he's doing and trying to come into alignment with that. It really, again, it requires more of that ability to feel, you know, the ability to sense. That's very right brain. So if you're an adult and you've struggled with different aspects of connecting with God, oftentimes that can be one of the root causes, could be possibly some disconnects related to brain function. And that impacts your ability to connect not only with God, but it impacts our ability to connect with people and to just be fully present and fully, you know, walking in our full identity, right?
Right. Wow. So definitely if people have been through trauma and treatment's not working, they might want to seek this out. But just in general, it's just a good thing to remember that we might want to exercise our left brain and and right brain both. And there's things we can do to strengthen that. Wow. So is there, what would you say to somebody that is struggling, that has either a child or as an adult, you know, they've had an ongoing issue with either the effects of trauma or anxiety or something
absolutely.
Like that?
Absolutely. I mean, I would first say that there's absolute hope. You know, that's what I love about what I do, is we often serve families that have tried so many things. And you know, and so you may be, you know, an adult that's sitting there saying, I've been in counseling for so many years and I still feel stuck. There is hope and there is a way to continue to pursue healing. And so I would encourage you to, you know, if you have a child, you can look into Brain Balance. We have over 100 centers in the nation now. I'm out of Orlando, Florida, but we have centers all over the place at this point. And so that's a great tool for children. But for adults, really looking for counseling practices that are that do have a neurological component to their practice. Mm-hmm. And it's challenging because, you know, it's still new in the field, but it's growing rapidly, quickly. And so I know, you know, Angel, you're going to provide some resources. But the reality is that I know for me in this season of being in a pandemic, I even had to really take a step back and really self-evaluate. How am I going to survive this? How am I going to have, you mm-hmm. know, the mental health to be able to endure the unknown? Because when we have unknown, it can create a lot of fear. And when we have a lot of fear, mm-hmm. that's when our nervous system can really be in that fight, flight, or freeze. So I really mm-hmm. had to create habits of health. And I had to really create small little things in my life to take care of my brain. And so personally, mm-hmm. I had to pull out all the junk food in my diet. You know, so assessing mm-hmm. your diet is really important. Mm-hmm. but then also assessing, you know, how much time are you spending on screens? Because screens, actually, the research shows that it stimulates the left frontal lobe that has to do with addiction. So that's mm-hmm. something, if you're struggling with anxiety, you know, you really shouldn't be on screens more than an hour a day. And I know that's a really challenging mm-hmm. statement in the society that we're in. But I'm telling you, by just reducing screen time, that can impact the way your nervous system functions.
This is such important information, and I'm so grateful that you were willing to come on and expose us to this. And I will put resources, your resource and other resources in the show notes for the podcast. So if anybody wants to look you up or look up other avenues, because we didn't even get to talk about Splunkna, but that's another form of healing that is Christian based. But again, I'll leave that mm-hmm. website there. So any other burning thing on your heart before you want to pray for those who might be struggling?
I don't think so. I think those are, you know, some good little concrete nuggets of, you know, how to look at things and just to open up the idea that the way the brain functions can impact your entire life. It can impact the way you have relationships.
Yes.
It can impact your relationship with God. And it is a really critical piece for us to be more connected, is really critical to be able to pursue the plans and purposes and really walk in our full identity of who God says we are and that we believe it and we actually function out of that.
Yes.
So, yeah.
That's awesome. Beautiful word. Well, absolutely. Can you close us in prayer?
So, Father, we just thank you that you have designed our bodies to be so complex, but yet what I see and experience more and more, that there is simplicity in the way that our bodies function, which is so crazy to think about. But we thank you, Lord, that you have designed us. And so, Father, I just ask that anyone that's listening in on this podcast, that they will just be encouraged to know that you desire for them to walk in full healing and in full restoration. And so, Lord, I just ask that that they will just be able to find the answers that they need. But that, God, that you will guide and direct their steps. I believe wholeheartedly, Lord, that you can open doors that no man can open and you can shut doors that no man can shut. And so we entrust and we believe that you are the ultimate healer and that you desire for us to be healed and made whole. So, Lord, we just entrust this crowd and these people that are listening to you And Father, I just ask God that you will just awaken areas of their life that may be dark, that Lord, that your light will come in and shine in those places, and that they will have hope. And Lord, that they feel your presence even as they have listened to this podcast, God, that you are our ultimate healer. We thank you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Amanda.
All right. Well, thank you so much for having me, and hopefully this will be helpful to others.
Wow, fascinating information for sure. It is so important that we take care of brain health, and so we can do that holistically through praying, through relationship with other people, through exercise, good habits with our food, and then we might need to get some specific help like Amanda was talking about. But it's so great that it's available. And don't forget, the information is in the show notes on the podcast. Listen, I look forward to wrapping up our series on trauma next week. We're going to talk about post-traumatic growth and the positive things that can come out of trauma. The trauma itself is not positive, but what it can do for us and in us can leave us healthier and have a even better relationship with God as we travel through it. So have a good week. Take care, and take care of your brain. I'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.